I saw Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis have a booth on television, a recording booth. So I said, I'm going to make one of those. So I took all the clothes out of my 2x4 closet and like cut the window of us. It was that. It was my mom and dad saying, okay, cool. You know, you really want to do this recording thing. You change your bedroom. Now let's move the cars out of the garage and we're going to build you a studio in our home.
So that's a message for every single parent out there. Let your kid be creative. Encourage their creativity. Adam Blackstone is today's guest on Naked.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like a million bucks.
With zero qualifications.
She had a Harvard plaque.
Tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with us. Every champion and carry champions to be a champion. Got a champion and carry champion. Hey girl, you did it. Got a champion.
Oscars, BET Awards, Soul Train Awards, Super Bowl halftime shows. These are major award shows. And you want to know who's behind the music of every single one of these shows as of late? Today's guest, Adam Blackstone. I have the privilege of knowing him in a very comfortable and very casual way, but he is truly the professional, the ultimate professional. And I'm grateful that he had decided to bless me, not only on my TV show, but today he is on the podcast. And he's dropping gems, as he should. But the question was this. I'm really curious because I have that in me, that hustle muscle that he has. But I wonder if there's ever a time where you say, I've done it. I've done enough. Or you have been able to stop and appreciate all you've done and not feel the need to want more. I can't say that truly ambitious people ever feel the need to stop. It's just their drive. It's that engine, that motor that they have. And Adam is truly one of these people. But today we talk about the genesis, his origin story, how he started in the business, how his upbringing contributed heavily into his creativeness. He has a special word for creators, all creators, not just in the music industry. And then at the end of the day, he's looking towards what's next in terms of when it's all said and done. Everybody relax and enjoy. Musical director, artist, Adam Blackstone. I want to begin with what a wonderful, could it be a 10-year run that you're on, a 5-year run? You are everywhere doing all the things. And it's really interesting because the first time we sat down to talk, I said, what is a musical director? And yeah. And so first, by definition, before I explain to everyone why you're such a big deal, tell me by definition what a musical director is.
I think the best way for me to explain is everything live music oriented that transfers from the studio to the stage. You know what I'm saying? Like as far as it being when the artist records a song, we want to now present it live for an audience to watch, for an audience to listen to have that experience. I have to translate those moments from the studio to now to make it a live experience. But now for what I do and how I do it and where I do it, it's more sometimes about dance, my music lining up with the dancers. It's more about the video screens. When I'm doing Super Bowl, it's more about the television shots and how I'm transitioning. So it moved from a strictly music place to a full out creative process. So that's what a good MD is.
That's what a good MD is. Okay. I don't know about the other ones, but the good ones do that. Here's my question for you. You have said, especially according to research, that you credit your love of music to your family. Did you grow up in a musical household?
Absolutely. My dad was and still is a church organist. What we would call today like a wedding band singer type joint. He did weddings, bar mitzvahs, jazz clubs, restaurants, church banquets, all playing the keys and singing. My mom was in the choir. My aunts and uncles were in the choir. My uncle got a record deal when I was like 8 years old as a gospel group. They was like the gospel Jodeci to me. I don't know better. I was like, listen, they got the church girls following them around from church to church and all that. I'm like, before I met KC, it was my uncle for sure.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Okay,
So growing up like that, and then you know, I think a big part of my success as well is my dad being a musician allowed me to have the grace to pursue a non-traditional job in my household. A lot of times black, you know, they pass down like, you got to do this, you got to do that. We got to make it. This is what it is. And I had the untraditional path, having a parent as an untraditionalist as well. So that allowed me to just kind of pursue dreams and think big, dream big, you know what I mean? And trust God. And it was just like, you know, I didn't have a structure set going out into the world. So when I moved to Philly from New Jersey, it was just like, yo, I can do anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't know if that was music for video games. I was a gamer. I didn't know if that was music for theater. I didn't know if that was, you know, me playing jazz all my life. Then I met The Roots, met Amir and that kind of changed my life too. But then the full circle moment is like when I'm doing these movie scores and stuff. I know I'm kind of speaking through it, but it all goes back to just the love of music, and what I enjoy happens to not be genre specific. You know what I mean?
I'm really curious about something you said that is really, it's special. You said that because your father was a musician, it gave you the flexibility and freedom to pursue a non-traditional career, especially right. in a Black household. Because if they're like, go to school, get a good job. And what you're saying is that you were encouraged to be a creative. And what other ways did your family encourage you to be a creative? And what did that look like?
It looked very untraditional. My parents allowed me to pull the clothes out of my closet because I saw Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis have a booth on television, a recording booth. So I said, I'm going to make one of those. So I took all the clothes out of my 2x4 closet and like cut the window. It was my mom and dad saying, okay, cool. You know, you really want to do this recording thing. You change your bedroom. Now let's move the cars out of the garage and we're going to build you a studio in our home. You know what I mean? It was my mom and dad driving me to band competitions, you know, during high school. Because, yo, don't get it twisted. Like, me being a band geek, I was LeBron out there. You know what I'm saying? I was getting flown all over the world, you know, going to college visits and like, yo, you should play in our band. And the bands is picking me up. I flew to the U. I flew to North Texas. I flew to Baylor, you know, Berkeley. It was like, you know what I mean? Like it was really like a thing. And so, you know, my mom and dad finding the resources to do that, you know, definitely gave me a jolt in my back to actually be great. You know what I mean?
How wonderful, how absolutely wonderful to grow up in a household that encourages the different.
Yeah.
I feel like it's why you say you do all genres of music. You have such an eclectic taste. How would you describe you, and more specifically, you've worked with, you said they had an open mic night, Questlove did, and The Roots, and that really helped encourage you, especially being from Philly, Delaware area, doing that, living that lifestyle. But what was it about all types of music that you felt like you could really relate to? What do you hear? What do you feel?
That's a great question, Carrie. I don't know if I ever thought about it like that, about what I hear. You know what I did think, though? I wanted, you know, I love being the man behind the artist, behind the music, but I like pop music. Straight up, you know what I'm saying? Like, so in a weird way, as much as I model a lot of what I do after Quest, I'm not necessarily the encyclopedia that he is that dives super deep.
Correct.
Because I listen to the radio. I like Drake. I like Garth Brooks. I like, you know, yeah. Jennifer Hudson. I like pop music. You know what I'm saying? I like Neo. I like Justin Timberlake. You know what I mean? I like Nicki Minaj. So, you know, I was always like, let me take the soul elements from what I've learned here and incorporate them into pop music, because at the time, Philly was booming as well. It was the neo soul era. But at the same time, it was just the passion behind the music that everybody was coming to Philly to try and get. You know what I mean? And so I got my first opportunity, bigger opportunity, being with Jill Scott and Music Soul Child, who were from Philly, but at the same time, all over the world, people were looking for that sound. You know what I mean?
It's so rich. It's so textured.
It's so rich. It's soulful. It's warm. It's colorful. You know, Jill always talks about seeing colors when she sings and writes, you know. And then at the same time, Meshing met this young kid from Chicago with this pink polo shirt, and he was super soulful as a producer named Kanye West. And then, you know, his sound transcended pop and hip hop as well. So it was like I was actually forward thinking, didn't even know what I was doing. But like, let me infuse myself in this soul music, knowing that this new soulful producer. And then you know, fast forward, you get him making beats for people like Brandy and making beats for with Daft Punk and, you know, me meeting Pharrell and, you know, N.E.R.D. But then Pharrell making beats with you know, Nile Rodgers and making beats for Gwen Stefani. So it was like everybody was searching for that soul. And I just so happened to be what that live element meant for a lot of the artists. So I was cool doing pop music. I wasn't afraid of it at all. I didn't let the color of my skin and how I looked affect what rooms I walked into and be excellent. Because, you know, when you walk in with your head held high and knowing what you're doing, they can't help but respect you. You know what I'm saying? At that time, you know, I'm going to say 15 years ago, I had the cosign already from like a Jay and from Ye. And,
because you have worked with everybody, presumably every, really not everybody in that sense, but just every big name, people that are, and even smaller names, but you have worked with, you've worked with the luminaries of music in every genre. How do you make your name? Is it the Jay-Z moment? Because you were on tour with him and you did the bass, right? That was like a big moment.
Yeah, I played bass. Yeah, Amir Quest was the musical director. You know what? I have a weird thought process about me making my name was really about being everywhere. Like, I don't know if it was just one thing. You know, arguably, you could say Chappelle Block Party kind of like made me a little bit more visible. You could say Jay-Z's Fade to Black movie concert made me a little more visible. You could say I did very early episodes of The Tonight Show when The Roots first got the gig or whatever. But it was really about being like, man, that dude is everywhere one specific thing. You know what I'm saying? And again, that's encouragement by my family. That's a supportive, you know, family, supportive wife that was just like, yo, go do everything. And so I was doing clubs and jazz gigs, but at the same time, taking the train to New York to Jay-Z rehearsal. You know what I'm saying? And then I was like out on tour with Jay, but then coming home and writing out charts for the local theater just to try to do that, which put me in like a movie space too that my counterparts at the time couldn't do. Because they may have not been as musically tech savvy as I was learning how to read and write music from college.
Yeah. So, and you have a hustle muscle that is undeniable.
It's different. And it's different.
It's just different.
And I mean, you got that too, though, because, you know, I'm liable to see you on 13 different.
13 different networks. Absolutely. And speaking very different things. Like I can speak to the Black experience. I can talk politics. I can do sports. I can do it all. And I don't think that we limit ourselves, but I really am fascinated by how you came into my atmosphere. And then I felt like once you were in my atmosphere, I saw you everywhere. And I feel that's how people feel. Like you see, you meet you once and then now you're alert and you're aware. Most recently.
It's about awareness. You know how we got that dream car and then you just see it driving down the street every time. You're like, dang.
Yeah, you do.
I also think
this is funny. I'm going to go by just a list of achievements, because if you're listening, you've already ascertained that he's worked with everybody big in the business in some capacity. But we talked about the day after the Super Bowl. You did, arguably to me, you were the musical director for some legendary Super Bowl performances. Like that's not even fair. All of them. You've done them for the last five, but I would love to talk about the West Coast hip hop Super Bowl performance, which was legendary. Yes. Then you had everybody guessing about Rihanna. And not only do we look back on that now, I know as a woman, I look back on that now and say, I can't even imagine what she was doing or thinking.
Yeah, going through, right?
Going through as a pregnant woman performing, and people wanted her to spin on her head. And I'm all like, do you know how difficult it was for her just to even elevate, to get up that high and perform?
Equilibrium.
She wanted to. At one point, I was like, is she going to throw up? Because this is tough. And she's still giving her all to everybody. You know what I mean?
For sure. Yeah, for sure. I those two moments specifically definitely... I ain't gonna say made me a household name, but it's like, you know, now I go to All Star and they're like, yo, Adam, what's up? You know what I mean? and it feels good because, like, number one, it's for the culture. You know, number two, my goal, I think I told you this before, but my goal for the West Coast Hip Hop Super Bowl was to not let it just be about Black excellence. I think I wanted people who were not fans of hip hop to leave that show or leave watching the show being like, I respect it. It is just as genius as what Bruce Springsteen did, what Billy Joel, what Mick Jagger could do. And I think we achieved that, like,
absolutely,
straight up. You
know? Absolutely.
We had no hiccups. We had no violence. We had no tiffs. It was just a great, great experience. I was able to leave that experience and win an Emmy for Best Musical
Congratulations.
Direction.
Congratulations. I was about to say, you got an Emmy. Let me tell you what you did. You accomplished the mission. It was accomplished in the sense that West Coast hip hop is mainstream music. Yeah. When I saw these 50 and 60 year old white women dancing in a living room on IG and TikTok,
great.
They were going crazy. And it's exactly what we would have wanted, but hadn't imagined that it was possible. It felt very special just for us, but it was for everybody. And you were able to.
It was definitely for everybody. It was definitely for everybody. We accomplished that. And I think even in the room, just to see the response. And honestly, man, that Jay-Z, he just is such a genius, because I'm sure he knew this then, but I didn't. But he has opened the door with that being as successful as it was. Dr. Dre as well, but I'm talking as Jay as a producer now, Roc Nation as a producer, has opened the door for the NFL and even other of the five majors to really embrace hip hop and say, people will support this. People will buy this. And so, you know, we get to Utah, right? For NBA All-Star.
Yeah.
Which is my favorite gig of all time.
And then you do Afrobeats.
And then we did Afrobeats in Utah. Carrie, I thought that was...
At All-Star.
I thought that was one of the most far-fetched ideas when it was on paper. And this has nothing against Tim's, one of my favorite, Burna.
Sure.
Arguably
sure.
Top five
all my faves.
But I was just like, wait, what? And then it worked. We saw the global capability of what our people, how we impact the world. You know what I'm saying?
Are we surprised? Because our culture is in everything, and it's usually co-opted and changed into theirs. But
that's
we said, no, we own this.
We shouldn't be surprised, but we are still made to feel like the minority at times. And I got to be honest, working for a corporation, it doesn't matter what corporation I'm talking about, we are still not the majority. So it's
correct.
Like when they embrace us, at times it's like, are y'all sure? What you got up your sleeve? Like, you know,
we are wired to be anxious because that is why that's all we've understood. What else is about?
Why do you think that is, though? I'm going to ask you, coming from a corporate job, like, why do you think, you know?
Well, because culturally, they don't really understand us. They don't see the humanity in Black people. They don't know our hearts. Now, I'm not saying this as a slight. I'm saying it as
in
a country.
And it's not across the board. We're just talking.
It's not across the board, but we're just saying in general, it's not, the onus isn't on them to learn about African Americans. The onus is on us to learn about them. And if you have never, ever felt like you've needed to learn about another culture, their music, their dance, their style, who they are, why they move that way, doesn't affect your day-to-day life. It really doesn't. We have to live consistently in a world where we interact with them. They can live in a world where they don't have to interact with us. And that's not a
state. That's crazy.
It's just what it is. So that's
it
why
just
we
is
are
this.
Exactly. And so we're anxious when we are in these environments. But I love that our music has always been the connect the dots. And you're specifically what you're doing is bringing what we already know is great in mainstream to the forefront. And you've been able to do that in so many different ways. So what's up with next year's Super Bowl? Tell me who's performing. You can give me the exclusive right now. I won't share with anybody, just the folks who are listening.
The exclusive is, drum roll. Super Bowl is in Las Vegas. Ooh, that's all I got. That's all I got.
I know that.
Okay, well, I was trying to give you some. it's a process. I ain't gonna even front. It's a process. At times, we think we know.
Uh-huh.
At times, we don't. You know, for instance, you know, I think this is a little bit known, but, you know, Taylor was supposed to be last year, and then she went through some things with her label and wanted to get ready for her tour, which she's out here killing it right now. But and that probably was best for her. But I also know that was best for Ree, because, you know, if we would have pushed Ree back to 24 or 25 or 26 or whatever, you know, who knows with her new situation as mommyhood, whatever. So things just happen in the spur of the moment at times, especially when it comes to planning that big concert in the middle of the big game, which,
but by the way, it's now become the concert with a little game. Like that, the West Coast, I'm going to tell you the truth. That West Coast hip hop concert was like, there's a little game happening, but there's a concert I'm here to see. That's what you are. I need you to understand that. You need to understand that. Like that was this Michael Jackson or Prince.
Who your team though? Who's your team?
Oh, well, you know, my team, even with the Rams. The Rams is my team. I was still rooting for my team, and your team was the Eagles. I'm sorry. We both have had our teams in the Super Bowl, but I'm saying from the outside looking in, what do the ratings do when the concert comes on?
No, 80 million strong up in 1 minute. It's crazy. It's really, really crazy. It's like it went from this number to this number. They can, like, see it. You know what I'm saying? And that's because my auntie... Yeah, auntie. You know what I'm saying? Like that, you know, Caucasian aunties, you know what I mean? Like it may not be as interested in the game. And then it's like that concert, the concert started at 8:10. Let's watch.
You guys know what time it is. It's the pay the bills time. You can fast forward through these commercials. I'd appreciate it if you did. But don't go away. Fast forward, but pay attention, because we have more of Adam Blackstone when we return.
Every champion and carry champions to be a champion, a champion and carry champion and carry champion, a champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like a million bucks.
With zero qualifications.
She had a Harvard plaque.
Tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Every champion and carry champions to be a champion, got a champion and carry champion, that girl you did it, got a champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment, get naked with. Welcome back to the podcast. I have musical director, creative all around, badass man, Adam Blackstone, still here on Naked. I will say this to you, because you've had some wonderful, like, luminary moments. You just did Juneteenth. You're coming off of that. By the time this airs, it'll be about a week or so after Juneteenth. That was a beautiful concert. And you have touched everyone and everything. But most recently, you've had your own success with your own project, the Legacy Experience. Is it experience or project? It's experience, right?
Well, Legacy is the album, and I'm calling the live experience the Legacy Experience for sure.
Okay, good.
Yes.
But you have shared that you didn't want to have just a laptop full of ideas. You wanted to actually put something out there. And perhaps, was it the pandemic that motivated you?
For sure. It was the losses we were accumulating during the pandemic. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to say necessarily the pandemic motivated me, like being on. One of the great things about my job is that people wanted to see sports and music, for sure. You know what I'm saying? So I really never had a super low moment. I found out how to make live music experiences from that crib. So that was really, really cool. You know, shows were still happening, even though they were COVID style, but the music bumpers and all of that and the live performances that we saw and then the tiny desk at homes, like I was doing all of those things.
Yes.
But then I was losing people. I lost a cousin. I lost a great musician, keyboard player, friend of mine, young people. I had people lose parents. And that's when I was just like, yo, tomorrow is not promised. I'm not sure at 40 years old that I thought I would ever see a pandemic. You know what I'm saying? Like, just in my lifetime, my son at the time was 5. And I just had a newborn. And I was just like, yo, I want something. Playing Dr. Dre, Kendrick's incredible. Playing with Ree is incredible. But once that gig is over, it's still theirs, per se. I love that I was a part of it and impacted that moment. But what do I have with my name on it to pass on to my family and to my children? So I buckled down and created my Legacy album. And here we are, you know, one Emmy later, Grammy nominated later, NAACP Image Award. We trying to get it racked up. You know, it's a big deal. It feels so good to be validated by just my people, but just the peers in general. You know what I'm saying? It allows me opportunities like this to talk to you and puts me on stages to kind of combine thought processes. You know what I'm saying? Like, music for sure is the catalyst to get me to outward speak and inspire somebody else. So I'm thankful for that, these moments for sure.
I'm really beyond happy.
I appreciate it, girl, for sure. You've been a huge supporter of music in general. And so we see you at the shows.
I'll be out there supporting. But it warms my heart, because right now I know a lot of people listen to this podcast that have dreams, because I'm a big believer of dreaming really big. And watching those dreams come true. People call it manifestation, but I literally see my future. And I want you to talk to the struggling artist. And it doesn't have to be just the musical director. It's the director.
Yeah.
It's the creative who needs to know that it's okay to take your clothes out of the closet and create a box to do music like Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. You know what I mean?
Facts. Yeah, I mean, that's where it starts. It starts in your head. You don't always have the resources. Now, I will say this. The generation or two under us has access to so much. So I will say, I think that made us a little more resilient and a little more creative, where we didn't have a YouTube or you couldn't see the next, you know, pretty black girl podcast girl. It was like you almost had to guess who was behind the mic. Like, you know what I'm saying? You couldn't really see what a musical director does and to be like, I aspire to be that. So one of the things I encourage young creatives to do is to follow your own dreams. You know what I'm saying? It's cool to be inspired by us, but at the same time, be better than us. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like my platform is here for the little young boy, little young girl to know that there anything is possible. You know what I'm saying? I thought I was going to play in the NBA. And music has taken me to every arena in the country to watch my favorite sport. Like, you know what I'm saying? I see the same camera people. I see the same scoring table people. I see the same ball girls and ball boys. Like, there are so many other opportunities than just dribbling and passing and catching the ball and even playing the guitar. There's so many other opportunities that allow you to be successful, specifically in the entertainment business. So that's been my job. And you know, we're offline, but like, I really want to get people like us around that maybe people can't do what we do, but they want to be in the business because there's somebody doing your audio right now. And there's somebody creating a audio session for me right now that you don't see those people behind the day. But those are great, great jobs that last, you know, kind of past some of the show.
And they still teach you to the world that you want to be a part of. You were saying, I want to be in the NBA, and you thought that was it, but you're still a part, you know, whether it be adjacent because of the world in which you live, you still have the same access and the resources because you...
I'm definitely in the NBA. I'm actually in the NFL. I'm actually in MLB. Like, it's so crazy because it's like, you know, those are the moments where you realize this gift that I have has gotten me to these stages and you want to be more excellent. You know what I mean? Give that access to my children. And it's like, you know, he see JoJo and it's regular for him because it's like, that's where we at. But it's like, I can't imagine being able to just see AI, you know what I mean?
And so your message is for all those who are creatives is to really follow your passion.
Follow your passion. It will take you far beyond where you could ever imagine. And then the other thing is, if you're not inspired, find something to be or someone to be inspired by. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it takes it, you know, I hate to think specifically for our black boys, it's like you gotta have some turmoil or some daddy issues or whatever to be like great. You know what I'm saying? So one of my other constant roles is affirming my children to know that they can be anything that they want to do. I have their back 10,000%, and I'm gonna support them and all that, because sometimes the success stories you see be like, you know, struggle, didn't know the dad, he went on to be great. It's like, dang, that's up.
It doesn't have to be that story. It could be a story of my dad was an organist in the church and he said, go ahead and be creative. Yeah. And then it could be, he encouraged everything that I wanted to do. That's why I'm so good at what I do and why I'm also in turn a great father.
Yeah.
Which is beautiful, Adam. I love that story. Can you tell me, can you really tell me, because every time I talk to you, you seem so easy and happy. Has there ever been a time in which in your career where you're like, this ain't it. I ain't doing this.
Yeah, you get discouraged often. I mean, like, and then also I ain't gonna front, like, social media I have you thinking that you ain't doing nothing either. Like, even though you're doing all the things.
Wait, why does social media make you think that way? Why?
Well, I mean, you know, there could be someone, you know, deemed more popular. It could be something where, you know, you really want people to see or buy a song or whatever, and the numbers ain't moving like you think they should be, but then you see some other crazy numbers moving on something that is a little less, that you may think is less important. You know what I'm saying? So it's you know, I take social breaks for sure. You know what I mean? Because I remember how focused I was before all of this. And I still am very focused. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, like, I remember when I could do 5 or 6 or 7 different jobs because it was nothing taking my attention away or me not necessarily. I was chasing myself. You know what I mean? But you know, there are times where you struggle, you look for validation. That's where a great support system comes in handy as well. And then team as well, because I surround myself with positive people and we all not always positive, but a strong word will help you get through a day. You never know what somebody's going through, whether that be at the crib, whether that be out in the field, whether that be at work, whether, you know, you've done. I remember doing the Oscars last year and then it was just like I was working for 3 months and then the song changed like a weekend before. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, you know, that makes you almost want to give up. But it's like, no, this ain't the time to give up. This is the time to step up. You know what I'm saying? So and then, you know, everybody's financial and mental state at times can take a toll on you, too. So mental health is a real, real, real. I'm a firm believer in being as optimistic as possible, because if you speak it, like you said, Carrie, it's going to happen. It's going to manifest in some way or another. And so I have met some people who are down, not only on themselves, but just out in the world. We always hate that one boy that's like, yo, you always negative about stuff. Like,
yeah, I don't want to be right.
I keep that energy from me. Like, nah, I'm cool. I need all positivity, because at the end of the day, we winners. And it's not about the win. And it's not about the W-H-E-N. It's just knowing that I am going to W-I-N. I'm good with it.
Sooner rather than later, and not now, if not now, but you are winning. Yep. Let me ask you this. For very ambitious people, and this is why I'm very curious, when I see ambitious, successful people such as yourself, I wonder, do you know when a win is truly a win? If it all went away tomorrow, as in, I don't feel like tomorrow, would you be okay with what you've accomplished so far, or you would feel like you would feel slighted? Be honest.
You know, Now we in the therapy session right now because, you know what I'm saying? I don't know why culturally, I think, we don't celebrate ourselves enough when there is a win. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to put you in the same category. We a little bit of a workaholic, and when we do great, 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 great things, we're happy about it. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, we want to move on to the next thing. So, and not that it can top the last thing, but that almost is what drives us. So
is it cultural?
If I were to leave this.
Is it cultural? Is it a black thing, or is it the ambitious? I don't think that, and I'll use this random, Elon Musk is ever satisfied. This man has SpaceX and a car that drives itself. Fact. And he went to Twitter and he's like, not enough. I want science to lead the world. What I've accomplished is great. Yes, I know. Or is it we just feel like it might go away? Are we addicted to the
That's what I think cultural is, that it's like, yo, we don't know when it could be taken from us.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there was a moment where, like I told you, I just accepted every gig. I don't do that anymore because, number one, no is powerful. And then at the same time, all money ain't good money. You know what I mean? But I'm in a position to say that now because I did say yes to a lot of things to put me on the map and to gain my own self-assuredness of what I could and couldn't do. So I don't know, Carrie. Like the answer that I would ask you, I would say to your original question, would I be satisfied? Absolutely. You know, my children have seen me do some great things. My wife has seen me do some great things. My mom is so proud of me. But I have my own personal goals that have nothing to do with them as well. I know I want to move into movies. I know I want to get this EGOT. Like, there's so many different things that I personally want to do that my 2-year-old daughter, she could give a F about. Like, she don't care about none of that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and if I were to lay to rest today, yeah, she wanna play with Ariel, the Little Mermaid doll. You know what I'm saying? But if I were to leave this earth today, I could definitely think my family, my friends would say job well done for sure. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful to be able to put people in a position to win as well. And that's one of my first, not to get super deep, but that's one of my first ministries is like, I really want people to win around me because the opportunity that I was given doesn't come around a lot of times. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so once you take it, you have to be prepared for it. And make it happen. So, you know, that's where I'm at with it.
Get it. Once you get on, you have to give it back. Once you get on, you have to give it back. It's not just for us for ourselves. It's to share it and grow it and build off of it.
Every champion and carry champions to be a champion, a champion and carry champion and carry champion, a champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like $1 million.
With zero qualifications.
She had a Harvard plaque.
Tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
champion and carry champions to be a champion. A champion and carry champion. That girl, you did it. Got a champion and carry champion and carry champion.
Greatest in sports and entertainment. Connected with.
I wonder, Adam, what is next for you? I know you said you want to EGOT and you want to be in movies. Those things will be, that is to come. That is happening. That's
yeah,
a done.
So I am.
But what outside of on the list, like, what do you want for yourself personally and your fam? What do you want to feel?
Yeah, no, I want to raise happy and successful children for sure. I think that's always a goal for a proud father. I want to leave a legacy is for them to know that I did my best for them and then, you know, leave a little bit of generational wealth. And that's not even financial I'm talking about. I'm literally talking about knowledge, wisdom. You know, I see some of them other folks do it. They leaving their kids land and all this kind of stuff. It's like how dope is that? You know what I'm saying? Like the investment, instead of getting a school loan, it's like, let me be in a position to give that to my son to learn how to make it be something in the future. You know what I mean? So, and then that comes with me constantly learning, you know, constantly learning the financial game. I'm on Earn Your Leisure like
same
all day.
Same. Right? I'm going to tell you, that's one thing about this generation of us who have made it, who didn't have the financial literacy. We're learning in real time. And
real time. I see.
And it's scary. It's scary.
It's really scary. I see Puff now. I don't want to talk about no music. I'm just like, yo, what you working on? Like, you know, what's the next deal? How you figure out this Deleon? How you figure out this Ciroc? Like, I'm with Jay often, and when I get a chance to, you know, I watch and observe the team around him bringing him the deals. You know what I'm saying? Not to diminish his genius at all, but it's about surrounding yourself with forward thinking people as well. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, that's the kind of things that I'm trying to do. I have people now on my team bringing me plays, knowing that I want this EGOT. So it's like, they're bringing me new scripts. They're bringing me things to invest in, to possibly do. I am scoring the new Alicia Keys Broadway play. We got an opening night, October 24th, called Hell's Kitchen. I'm really excited about that. Mia, yeah, come through for sure. I got you. Me and Alicia doing that. Another big thing I'm excited about is I'm being honored November 1st, and I would love to invite you to that in L.A. by Recording Academy Save the Music, which is about all giving back to the kids. They're trying to take music out the schools, man, especially the Black schools. And, like, I ain't having it. I'm not having it. It's
hey,
like,
Adam, that is that it, though, right there. Do you, like, what you just said gave me chills. They're trying to take music out of the schools, and you... That will be a part of your legacy. You will not let that happen.
I can't do it because I know the outlet that I had through music. I remember the football coach. I was like 6 foot, 280 in college. I mean, in high school, he was like, you gonna choose play defensive end or you gonna go to the marching band? And I was like, I think I'm gonna go to the marching band. And they like, man, you just a waste of being. And I was just like, I think it worked out for me. I think it worked out for me, coach. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I know the outlet. I know the gifts, and I know how incredible it was to be in the band room during school days and to have something to look forward to. That wasn't always just scholastic, you know what I'm saying? And so that creative outlet allowed me to meet people. It allowed me to be a friend to different cultures and different, you know, races. And I'm going to do my best to really, really amplify the fact that, you know, music is not just a sound, but it's a feeling, it's a culture, it's healing. For people. And so I'm doing my best to do that through Save the Music. So that's another big thing I'm proud of this year, is that being honored by Save the Music.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Honored by Save the Music. You know why? Because I always think how important, there are two things that are extremely important. Music, we talked about what it's been for us culturally. Like, I remember I was in Nashville and I went to the museum there. And Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis had as you mentioned them earlier, so they have a section in that museum. I forget the name of it, but it's the museum that acknowledges African-American music, that talks about what it's done for us, even since its beginning, the gospel.
The roots,
roots of it all. And I was thinking, it just narrates our life, and it's so very important, because you can play a song, you could remember 10 years from now, I'll tell you where I am based on what I'm listening to. And it's so important that
you could cry on the you could cry on the spot if you hear the right wrong song, like whether that's a loved one passing, whether that's your dude breaking up with you, whether that's the wedding song, whatever it is, it's like music has so many different capabilities, and so you know our young people need that. I see young people struggling with mental health more than ever, and it's not cool. It's not cool. And I can't help but say, because of what I do, a big part of that is not having the outlet to express, you know?
I love it. Adam, you're changing the world with your music, and you are you are an athlete. You're in all the things. So now I know whenever I want to come to something, just real black, I wrap it up like this. Real black, can I just get a ticket? Because you're doing all the stuff. Can I
you
get
got the ticket. I ain't got no Beyonce ticket, but I got you with everything.
What a Beyonce hookup. I got a Beyonce hookup. So I wait on that.
You got the they got listen, I'm gonna call you on that. Like, hey, who we call me? Lenny, who we call? Ty, what we call it?
Nice tight connect. I'll tell you about it offline. Let me wrap up this podcast. Thank you so much for joining me and encouraging me.
I'm honored.
Inspiration. You really truly are. Do you know that? Just receive it. Just receive it. Just say thank you.
I appreciate that.
Just say thank you.
I receive it. But I wanted to tell, I do want to say this as you go, and I know you got to go. You are doing the same for us. Like, you know, you, I can't even put a gender on it. Like, you, what you do for the culture is bigger than woman, is bigger than black. It's like, you know, keep doing what you're doing, giving us these outlets and still talking your shit because you know what you're talking about. So
that's right.
We appreciate it. All right.
I love you, Adam, so much. I really do. God, you're a good...
Loud.
When you're creative and you have had certain levels of success, I do believe it's difficult to appreciate all that you've done, really to take in your career. And that's why I asked Adam, when is enough enough? Have you done enough? And quite honestly, he said no. And I can relate. I mean, I can relate. I have accomplished some amazing things over my career, but I'm always looking at what's next. I do believe the world that we live in today forces us to compare ourselves to others, and we see it so obviously with social media. That person's doing that, she's doing that, and he's doing that, without taking the time to say, but what am I doing? Or what have I accomplished? Or how have I inspired? Or how have I contributed to the culture and to the field in which I am working and thriving in? Sometimes we should just ask ourselves those questions. We should not live in this world where it's always what's next. I'm telling myself that as I tell you that. I appreciate Adam for being honest, and I don't have an answer. I definitely don't have an answer because I too do exactly what he does. I'm looking at what's next. I'm already outlining the next move, the next show, the next gig, the next opportunity. But in the meantime, I think I can try, and this is what I am encouraging you all to do. Take stock. You don't have to look around and see what everybody else is doing. Take stock of what you've already accomplished and why it's so, so very valuable. I love that his parents encouraged him. I love that they loved his creativity. And I love that despite what he looked like as a black boy, tall and big, and they wanted him to do sports, he wanted to follow his passion. We don't have to take the traditional path or the path that we've been told we should take. This is just another example of why you should do what inspires you, what drives you, what is your passion, and be bold about it. And hopefully you have people around you who encourage it. That's exactly what happened to Adam. And it's just such a testament to, I am more than what you see. There is so much more to experience. There's so much more to be had with me. And I'm just grateful that we had the opportunity to hear his story. Adam Blackstone, musical director for the next 10 Super Bowls, probably. You know what I mean? The musical director for the Oscars, musical director for the BET Awards, musical director for you name it. Now he's doing Broadway with Alicia Keys. Keep going. Keep going. And don't forget, you've already made it. I appreciate you guys for listening to the Naked Podcast. We will be back next week.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.